Welcome to Words of Grace, radio ministry of Elder Ben Winslet, pastor of the Flint River Primitive Baptist Church near Huntsville, Alabama. We invite you to stay tuned to today's broadcast.
We're so very thankful to have you in our listening audience today, and I just can't tell you how much I appreciate it when I hear from you, our listeners. I'm thankful to know that Words of Grace is a blessing to you, and if you'd like to get in contact with us, I'd encourage you to do so. You can write a letter to us the old-fashioned way by addressing that to Words of Grace, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama 35741. Or you can take a much easier route by simply going to flintriverpbc.org, and there at flintriverpbc.org, you can find out lots of information about our church and the various ministries here, and ways that you can get in contact with us. Our phone number is on the website, as is an email address at which you can directly reach me. And in addition to that, you can find out how to follow us on social media and even watch our services live on Sunday morning or catch the sermon after the fact on YouTube. And of course, if you live in the Huntsville area, we certainly invite you to attend public worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 or a couple of Wednesday evenings a month as well. You can find all the information about that and our location at our website, flintriverpbc.org. Our message today is part two of We Trust in God. Last week on Words of Grace, I shared with you part of a message on one of the most important disciplines of the Christian life, learning to trust God. We considered the reality that every child of God faces trials and afflictions, disappointments and uncertainties in this present world. And we also examined the familiar account of Peter walking upon the water with Jesus and learned how quickly fear and doubt can arise when we take our eyes off of Christ. As Peter began to sink beneath the waves, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and rescued him. And that account reminds us that our confidence is not found in our own strength, but in the faithfulness of the one who holds us up. In today's broadcast, we continue this message and this theme by looking at several powerful examples of trust from the Word of God. We consider the remarkable confession of Job, who declared, "Though God slay me, yet will I trust in him." And we'll visit the Psalms and see how repeatedly they call God's people to place their confidence in the Lord. And lastly, we'll conclude with one of the greatest demonstrations of faith found anywhere in Scripture, that of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three Hebrews who stood before a Gentile king and refused to bow down to the idol that he had set up because they trusted their lives entirely to God. To be clear, the Bible never promises that God's people will be free from suffering. It does, however, assure us that God is faithful, that he's with his people in every trial, and that he's worthy of our trust regardless of the circumstance. And ultimately, though we all face difficulties in this world, God will eventually rescue every single one of his children from this fallen world to a place where there's never going to be a trial again. There's never going to be suffering again. And that is the hope of the follower of Christ. May the Lord encourage our hearts today as we conclude this recent series on resurrection and hope and suffering and providence and the confidence that God's people can have in their Heavenly Father. Here's this week's message, part two of We Trust in God.
I want to share with you one of the more profound statements in all of the Bible regarding trust, and it's one that I believe is even emotionally impactful. And I think that you'll feel the same way, and it comes from the life of Job. Before we do that, I want to share with you a summary, really, of his life that James gives us in the book of James, chapter 5. In James chapter 5, speaking about persecution and tribulation and endurance, suffering, affliction, and patience, James says, "Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience." Now, what was written in the Old Testament was written afore for our learning, that we might have hope, summarizing what Paul wrote, I believe, to the Corinthians. What is in the Old Testament is there as an example for us to learn and grow. Remember what I said about trust. It is a discipline that we are to actively work in growing in. It's not going to automatically happen like maybe the fear of God that we have, or even though we grow in faith and are to labor in that initial spiritual gift that we inherently have through grace, that's just something that God has placed within you. You know God from the soul. Trust is something that we have to work in. I don't think there's many more contexts of needing to trust more than when you're suffering affliction for simply being obedient to Christ. If you do what you're supposed to do and someone persecutes you for that. And so, study the prophets. Take them who have spoken the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You look at their life and you count them happy. And so, learn from their example. You have heard of the patience of Job. You've heard of the patience of Job. I'm going to give you one statement Job made in his life in just a moment. You've heard of the patience of Job. And have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. First of all there, as you trust God, I want you to think this thought. I want you to keep this thought in mind. It's not even necessarily the right now in the context of the situation, the present reality that needs to be at the forefront of your mind when you think, why do I trust God in an affliction? It's what's going to happen. Afflictions are inevitable. You're going to suffer. You're going to have pain. You're going to have declining health. Not one person is going to make it out of this world alive, except for Elijah, who left in a chariot of fire, Enoch, whom the Lord took, Jesus, who ascended to glory. Eventually, we'll all be resurrected. We'll float out of here together. But as far as the majority of us, overwhelmingly in human history, we don't leave this world alive. We die, and that's how we leave. Before that happens, unless you're in a terrible accident, your health declines. You grow old. Your hair turns gray. Some of it turns loose. You get wrinkly. Your muscles begin to hurt. Your joints ache. None of us are going to make it out of here alive. And yet, we still look for this promise that God has for us. What's the word here that James uses? You have heard the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. That statement there doesn't mean that God has an ending. It's referring to the final thing that God does in the affliction when he gives the deliverance. The end of the situation, God handles. And in this ending, the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. This might be the end of the affliction, or it might be the end of your very life where Jesus delivers you from this world. But there are endings that God is involved in when the affliction that you experience is overruled, overturned, and God blesses you. And it's the ending that we look for. I hate endings. I hate endings. I'm like Winnie the Pooh at the end of that silly cartoon Ethan watched three times a day for the first several years of his life. Can't we go back to the beginning and do it all over again? I don't like endings. I love the now. I love the story that we've had together, that my family and I have had together. Endings are sad when it was a great story. But there's an ending that's coming that's better than the story. Job says regarding trust, and think about what all he's experienced up until this point. He lost his financial security. He lost his servants. This is due to a fire and an attack. His children were killed due to what we would call a natural disaster. We know what's actually happening here is Satan is afflicting Job because he has challenged God, saying, Job fears you for no reason because you've hedged him about so much. Nothing can happen to him. His fear of you is not real. And God says, take away whatever he has, but he's not going to curse me. He's not going to curse me foolishly. And God wins that battle. Job doesn't understand that. At times he makes statements that were a little bit beyond what he should have been saying. And when God shows up, he places his hand over his mouth and he says, I'm not going to say anything else. Now I understand. After his affliction was turned, God restores everything that he has and gives him more in the latter case than he had in the former. But there's a statement that Job makes in the midst of this, and I want this to be in your mind. In Job 13, Job actually says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. If God slays me, I'm going to trust in him, regardless of the circumstance. Job doesn't understand what's happening in his life. He doesn't know that Satan has challenged God and is waging war against God through attacking Job. He doesn't know God has suffered these things to be to defeat Satan in this rivalry here. Job just knows my health is gone. I'm covered in boils. My kids have all died. I've lost every bit of my flock and my servants are dead. And I'm alone with my wife, scratching my wounds with a piece of pottery. And she just told me to curse God and die. Thanks, honey. My three friends show up and they were doing great when they sat there quietly, but then they begin talking and say, you know, Job, you're harboring secret sin. You've done something to bring this on yourself. And Job calls them miserable comforters. Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. If you have a memory verse from today's message, let it be that one. Which is simply to say, regardless of the circumstance, I will trust in God. I will trust him. Easier said than done. It is what we are to do in our moments of affliction. Despite everything that Job had gone through, he retained his trust in God. The book of Psalms is rich in statements about trust, and I've actually, for the sake of time and turning, printed out a list of them. But I want you to notice some of these. Psalm 7 and verse 1, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me, and deliver me. Psalm 16, 1, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Psalm 18, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. Those are all military defensive terms. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to those that trust in him. Psalm 20 and verse 7, you've heard this one before. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God, which is Jehovah. Psalm 25, O my God, in thee I trust. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Psalm 36, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore thy children, the children of men, put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 40, he's put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Psalm 52:8 says, I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Psalm 55:23, but I will trust in thee. Psalm 56, I will praise his word. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. Psalm 62, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Are you getting the picture? Psalm 71, thou art my hope. O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. Psalm 73:28. It is good for me to draw nearer to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. Psalm 91, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And Psalm 141, mine eyes are unto thee, O God the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Why so many passages about trusting God in the Psalms? Well, it's a long book, as many chapters. But more than any other place in Scripture, you have the struggles and experiences of the men that were worshiping God at that time. You've got David running from Saul. You've got David lost in the midst of the Philistines. You've got David in the cave. You've got David against Goliath. You've got the experiences of even men like Moses who had to lead Israel out of Egyptian bondage. It's an experiential book, and so many times the experience isn't, God, you've made me healthy. You've made me wealthy. The experience is, there are people in this world that are trying to destroy me, but God, you're my refuge. And I trust in you. I trust in you. I'm going to close today with an example of trust. As I was studying and preparing for today's message, there's so many examples that you could pick. You could pick Noah. You could pick Abraham as he takes Isaac up to offer him and God stays his hand. He had complete trust in the resurrection. You have David, who trusted God so much that he went up as a teenage boy against the giant. How about Mary, when the angel comes to her and says, you're going to have a baby when you've never known a man, and he's the Messiah. Teenage girl Mary. There was trust displayed in Mary. Paul in the storm, as we mentioned last week. How much did Paul trust in God's word when they are trying to escape the ship, and Paul says, just sit tight, we're going to be okay if we stay in the ship. Trust. Trust. But the one that I want to share with you is found in the book of Daniel chapter 3. In Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, made an image that was 70 cubits, and he sets it up, and he tells them, you will bow your knee to this image that I have made, and if you don't bow your knee to this image that I have made, you will be executed. You will be executed. At this time in Jewish history, the Hebrews had been taken, the Israelites had been taken into Babylonian captivity, and these are the best and the brightest. They're many of them young men who are forced to serve as slaves, as eunuchs even, in the king's palace. And throughout Daniel, you see this faithfulness in the midst of affliction and this trust that they have in God. We refer to these three men as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's not actually their original names. Their original names is recorded for us earlier in the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel, his name is changed to Belteshazzar. Hananiah is one of these men, and his name is changed to Shadrach. Mishael's name is changed to Meshach, and Azariah's name is changed to Abednego. As they go into Babylon, they take their Hebrew names. If you read their names, you notice, what do you think the L in Daniel stands for? God. These men have names that are influenced by God's deliverance, and they change their names into names that reflect paganism. These three men are told, you will bow your knee to this image, or if you don't, you will be cast into the midst of a fiery furnace. Certain of the Jews, it is told to Nebuchadnezzar, whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar speaks to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you don't serve my gods or worship the image which I've set up? Now be ready. If you don't, when you hear the sound of the cornet and flute and harp and sackbut, that's a primitive trombone. So at least what the English word means, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music. If you don't fall down and worship the image, I will cast you into the midst of this fiery furnace. And is the God, who is the God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Well, I'm glad you asked. They say unto him, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful, afraid to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, if you don't cause this, if God doesn't deliver us, whatever the circumstance is, listen, but if not, be it known unto thee, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We will not bow. And so these men were bound, and they were cast into the burning fiery furnace. To stand before a king and to say, not only you're wrong, that's what John the Baptist did, but I'm not going to do what you tell me to do because what you've told me to do is sin. That takes boldness, that takes bravery, and that takes trust. Just like with Abraham offering up Isaac, you got to believe in the resurrection because this man has the power to take your life. And many of God's people in the history of this world have lost their lives as martyrs. We're not promised invincibility or that it's going to be okay in this world. Remember that. They said, look, whatever happens, we're not bowing the knee to your idol. We're not going to do it. These men are cast into the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar makes haste. He casts these men in their coats, in their garments. And he looks at this furnace, so hot that it killed the men which threw them in. And he's confused. Nebuchadnezzar is astonished, and he rose up in haste and spake and said, "Did we not cast three men into the fire?" You know how the story goes? We cast three men into this fiery furnace, right? Nebuchadnezzar says, "I see four men, and they're not convulsing in agony. They're walking. They're walking around. And the fourth has the form like the Son of God." Who's there with them in the fiery furnace? The one they trusted. And it was okay. You know, fire's a beautiful thing to watch. If you have a fireplace in your house, aren't you just drawn to it? Can you imagine what experiencing one without any pain and any suffering would be like, walking around like, this is kind of cool. They're walking around in there. Wow, this is really nice. And they're brought forth out of the fire. And as you see here, their bodies had no damage. Their hair wasn't singed. Their coats were not changed. And look at this next statement in verse 27. Nor had the smell of fire passed on them. They didn't even smell like smoke because the Son of God was with them in the fire. They trusted God, and it was not in vain. That had an effect even on the king Nebuchadnezzar. As we close today, I just want to tell you that God is worthy of our trust, and that's been the story of this book from beginning to end, the faithful who trust in Him. Even if you and I, like Job, don't understand what's happening in our lives, God is trustworthy. And with scriptural certainty, we say, blessed are all of those who put their trust in God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this series that we've undertaken, for the study of your resurrection and the consideration of tragedies and the victory that we have through your Son's death and burial and resurrection. Thank you, Father, that according to your will, we will rise again. Because of that, we want to rest in you. We don't need to fear the world around us, but we need to simply fear you and trust you. We know, God, that you're a God of providence, that you're with us, that every good and perfect gift comes down from you, and that we are much more valuable than the fields that you clothe or the sparrows that you feed, and the very hairs of our head are numbered. We pray, Father, today that you would help us at all times then to simply, with childlike faith, trust you. In thee do we trust. Forgive us of our sins, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Words of Grace, consider this your invitation to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. An online directory is available at marchtozion.com. Copies of this and other broadcasts are available for download on iTunes and on our website. And finally, Words of Grace is a listener-supported program. To contact us, address your correspondence to Words of Grace Radio, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741, or visit us online at flintriverpbc.org.